So, first of all, welcome to Belfer Common. It looks very nice, and maybe when I'm there in person, we'll try a shoe there as well. Okay, this is a different setup because we want to try something new every day just to keep everybody on their toes. So we took a different location, a different technological system, and we'll see what happens. The show will be a little briefer today since I've been I have some appointments. I've been ready to give it for the last 45 minutes, but apparently there was a lack of coordination. But we'll try to do the best we can. We began yesterday. Is there a reason I can't hear you? Is it possible to hear you also?
I think so.
Can you hear us?
Can you hear us?
Rabbi, I've been told to keep it on mute for most of the time, or else there's going to be too much of an echo, but when somebody wants to talk, I'm going to unmute it.
Okay, good. So everybody, maybe I won't, otherwise I see the people. I don't know whether it's worthwhile calling on people. If anybody has any questions or any comments, or ha'oros or ha'oros, please feel free to make it. It'll be part of the chavaya, as they say here. So we'll enjoy the two-way communication with both of yesterday. We began yesterday discussing the sugya of we discussed the one part of it, and I want to continue discussing it today for the time that we have. Again, if you lose me at some point, just gesticulate wildly, and I'll know that there's something wrong. Otherwise, just either break in or raise your hand or something, and I'll know somebody wants to make a comment. Okay. So the Gemara begins here on Samech Chesamid Beis with this topic. Interestingly enough, as we already noted, the first application of Rabbi Yochanan's halakha is the halakha of Zeh L'Pishei L'Shalom, and that's what we discussed a little bit yesterday. The very fact that there is a need for Gezeiras HaKasuv to teach you that a ganav, who is not, after all, the primary violent, cannot be makdish hachepet. That in itself is very telling and reflects much about the power of Kinyanei Bnei Bahu Gezeila. As we noted, we brought some of the other more powerful expressions or manifestations of this, things that we've seen in the past, to buttress, to reinforce this particular idea. I should note, just for the sake of a comprehensiveness, that there is another factor here, a factor which we're going to return to when we discuss Shita Rajba, and that is the possibility that being Makdish may not be the same as being Makne. Nonetheless, it's still a Kiddush that you would have to tell us that I see more people are walking in. It's still a Kiddush that we would have to be Makadesh, that a Ganav doesn't have the capacity, even if we were to agree that being Makdish requires less bilus than to be Makne. But as we already noted, because of we're also the Gavol Kimsir also the Hedjot, and the explanation of the Yerushalmi that is associated with that, namely Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, but at the same time LaHashem Ha'aretz Umloha. The idea that it's easier to transfer things to Hekdesh, because Hekdesh anyways owns everything. The Rabbeinu Shalom is Bailin on the entire world. It's his act of generosity that gives us Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, LaHashem Ha'aretz Umloha. So is it possible that maybe Kinyan and Geneva are not so powerful, but we still need this Gezeiras HaKasuv, most particularly, or at least not coincidentally, in the context of Hekdesh, but when it comes to Hakna or other transactions, maybe we wouldn't need Gezeiras HaKasuv, even if Kinyan and Geneva and Gezeila were of particular significance. So this is something that we have to return to when we get to the Rajba, but just at the outset, even as we're impressed with the need for Gezeiras HaKasuv, we have to note that there are really two issues. One is the Koach Kinyan of Ganav of Gazlan. Secondly, what we're trying to accomplish here, which in this case is Hekdesh. Hekdesh may require more or less or the same amount as other Kinyan. Okay. In any case, our primary focus today is on the second halakha of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's the bigger Kiddush. Again, the Kiddush of the first halakha is that we need Gezeiras HaKasuv. The Kiddush of the second halakha is that it applies at all. That the real, bona fide, authentic bailiff, the nigna from the nigzal, that he too is curtailed in his exercise of bilus in his own of his own property, and that of course is a chiddush. But the Gemara introduces that, and that's exactly what we're trying to analyze. So first, I want to do is just take a brief survey. I'm not going to ask somebody to read because again, it's too cumbersome. So let me just speak just for a few minutes about the structure of the sugya, and then we'll go back and analyze a few of the points in the short time that we have. Okay. The first point is that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is not left unchallenged. Rabbi Yochanan states his particular halacha, and immediately we're told that it is something that is debated by other Tanakh, that the Tznuit disagree with Shitas Rabbi Yochanan, where it tells us that Tznuit Manichin is Amos, the Omrim Kala Nilkat Mizeh, Yehim Bechulal Alamos, it's a case of Kerem Rabbi, Mos Haila, and the Gemara says that Tznuit did allow for the pinjam of Kerem Rabbi even after the item had been taken or even stolen, so it would appear. The Gemara's assumption here, important, not going to speak about it so much today, is that pidyon of Kerem Rabbi is equivalent to being makdish a chefetz to hekdesh. That's by no means so obvious. In general, this idea of the limitations of zelavishen and reshuso have to be applied, have to be weighed with regard to hakna'a, hakdasha, pidyon, Kerem Rabbi, and hefker, as we'll soon see. It's quite possible that these are all different types of transactions requiring different levels of either bilus or control. So the Gemara is assuming when it says that Tznuin disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan that there's no discrepancy between hekdesh and pidyon Kerem Rabbi, that they are essentially equivalent, and that the machlokas is whether or not a limit like Eidav Rashuso applies or not. Okay, so that's the first application to Tznuin. Then on Sabach Tasman Aleph, the Gemara goes a step further and applies the halacha to Hefker as well. That's what I was referring to. That's the halacha of Rabbi Dosa. The Gemara says that then the Gemara discusses Kerem Rabbi and so on, and then the Gemara brings in the issue of Rabbi Dosa. But Dosa's halacha is that if you have a situation of lekeh, and we discussed this, we talked about Tosfos Kama Tesam and Aleph, so the Anim are going to take the lekeh, but they didn't know that it was limited to two, so they take more than they should be taking. So we're told that the equivalent of Tznuim, what they used to do was they used to be mafkir the lekeh, so there wouldn't be a violation of gzeilos. So here too, the Gemara is assuming an equivalence between hekdesh, hefker, and previously kerem rabbi. Okay. So far we have three applications of this halakha. And the Gemara says that Rav Dosa, Bilkot Kamar, the Tamar Abinu Shachras, Baal Abayis, Omei, Beomer, Kolsha Yulkatu, Aniyam Ayom, Yehi Hefker. And this is in opposition to Shitas Rav Yochanan. Then if we turn the page, Samach Tesamid Beis, we're going a little faster than we usually go, but Gemara in Samach Tesamid Beis has a fourth application. So far we have Hekdesh, we have Kerem Rabbi, we have Hefker, and then the Gemara has the application that links this whole sugya to our Mishnah in the beginning of Baruba, that Rav Yochanan Stam Achrini Ashkach. It's not Enigod of Acharaganov, Mishalim Tashlume Kefal. So the Gemara says that the halacha of Enigod of Acharaganov, Mishalim Tashlume Kefal, that too is based on the principle of Rabbi Yochanan that Gezav Lonus Yashua Bailim, Ze Vze Enam Nicholim, Lahaktisho, Ze Lafisha Nishalo, Ze Lafisha Enam Bershusa. So the Gemara here is assuming that the problem of Gonev Minaganov is only a problem because, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's significant enough when something is Eidav Rishuso to impede Kinyanim, because that is true, that's how I was connected to the definition of Gonev Minaganim. Again, this is a chiddush because one could have said that we're dealing with two totally different halakhos. One halakha is the question of what are the conditions to be considered a ma'aseh gneiva, which generates kefel. And as far as that is concerned, maybe even if there's a chisaron of rishus that is an obstacle to the nigdav or nigzal being able to be makneh, but there's still the bialim. Again, everybody agrees that there's still a difference between ein shalom and ein rishus. And as far as kefel and ma'aseh gneiva, etc., is concerned, the fact that there's still a nigdav, that there's still a bialim in the world, should be sufficient, even if his own koach in his own property has been curtailed by the ma'aseh gneiva. So it's a double chiddush, in a way, that the Gemara assumes that the definition of rishus, which is connected to the exercise of kinyanim, is identical to the definition of rishus that's koveya le'inyan ma'aseh gneiva. The truth is that in light of the question that we raised yesterday, which is the question of the sugya, namely, is this a problem of rishus kind of a technical problem, a problem of access and control, which is a precondition for kinyanim, or whether or not it's not just a technical problem in exercising kinyanim, but it is more a loss of bailus, either because of the kinyane gneva ugezela, or because of the fact that he's lost control is itself something that the momentum of that generates a loss of bailus. As far as that issue is concerned, certainly the application to gonate menaganov points very much to this being more than a practical problem of exercising bailus in kinyanim. Because if it was just a problem that, you know, if you don't have access and control, you can't be makneh, then certainly this should have nothing to do with the definition of rishus, or by extension bailus, which is obviously integrally connected with the problem of gonev menaganov. So the Gemara's application here to go to menaganov is very, very, very important. For the Tosas Rid, on the other hand, this becomes a much more intriguing idea, because, as we already noted, the Tosas Rid on Daf Kufin Aleph on the base asks the question of the apparent stira between the dinner of Chizda and our Mishnah of Ein Gonev Menaganov Chayiv Kefel. The solution of the Tosas Rid is to be mechalek between Gneva and Gezela, namely, Gonev Menaganov is a din in Gneva, but Gozo Menagazlon is not a problem whatsoever. So here, on the other hand, maybe goes in the other direction. So the Tosas Rid to justify that halacha is, well, why should that be true? After all, why should we distinguish between Gneva and Gezela? If we're distinguishing between Kefel and Karen, that would be one thing. But for distinguishing between Gneva and Gezela, why should that be true? Especially when you consider that the Gemara is linking it to Zeh Lefi She'eino Shalom and Zeh Lefi She'eino Bershuso. So the Tosas Rit came up with a almost like a Xeris HaKosuv of his own, but it is, as I mentioned in the past, it's more of a connect the dot to the Xeris HaKosuv that we have. And the Tosas Rit said, well, after all, if you look at the sugya carefully on Sadat Tesla Days, which says that Godef Naganov is connected to this problem of Aveda Breshuso as well. So what we see from here is that the problem of Godef Naganov is the problem of Xeris HaKasuv, similar to Ishki Yachdish is Beso, Ma Beso Breshuso, Avkol Breshuso. And he says that's because the Torah says, Vegunav Mi Beis Ha'ish. And it's not considered Beis Ha'ish, it's not considered Breshuso, as the Gemara explained. So once the script says that, assumes that the requirement of Mibes Ha'ish, of Rishus, as part of the Maisa, is something that is limited to Gneva. It doesn't apply to Gezela. Now here, if one were to say that it was the loss of Bailos, per se, in a very, very significant way, it would be hard to explain why you distinguish between Gneva and Gezela, unless you want to conclude that anything that you take away is sufficient to generate gzela, but gneva requires that you take away more, or that you take away everything. If something is already missing, something is already deficient in the bailus, then you have no ability to be gonev after that point in time. If you say that, then maybe this would work. But certainly it would be better to say that the problem of Bershuso is really a problem of Bershuso. Maybe from a Bailus point of view, if there had been a Pizarron, it's more logical to assume that there would be no distinction between Gedeva and Gazela. But the requirement of Maisa Otsam Bershuso Bailim, maybe that is a requirement more in Gedeva and Gazela. And actually that works out very well. We didn't discuss this point at the time because we didn't have enough information. But going back to the Hagdama at the beginning of the year, as we recall, we spent a lot of time discussing differences between Gedeva and Gazela. And we kept emphasizing again and again that Gedeva is much more focused on the Maisa, and that the Otsam Bershuso Bailim really is more crucial in that context, whereas Gazela is much more oriented towards the impact and the suppression of the mamon of the other party. If that's if that's the case, then the Tosas Rid really works out perfectly. The idea of the Tosas Rid is that Rav Yochanan says, Zelepi Shena Shalos, Zelepi Shena Bershuso. It's not a problem of Bailos per se, it's a problem of Bershus. And Bershus is only a problem in Gneva. In Gazela, where there's no requirement of Bershus, there's also no problem of Gozo, Minagazo. So then, according to Tosas Rid, it works out very nicely that that this is really a Rishus Halakha, and it's not just a proxy for saying that it is a form of lack of Bibles. Okay. It's also noteworthy that the Gemara in Sabbath Testament days, for the first time, employs the Gzeres HaKaso of Ish Ki Yaktish as based on Kodesh Lashem, not based on Rishus of Kol Bershuso, with respect to the Nigna. The Gemara earlier in some Chesed days uses the Gzeres HaKasuv, as we already noted, with regard to the Ganav. And that also may be of significance. Okay. This question of, well, I just said the name of the Tosas Rid, that this may be more of a Pisaron and Rishus, and Rishus may be limited to Gneva, not applied to Zela, etc., is also going to be very important for Shitas HaRajba that we'll just elaborate on in a few minutes. The Rajba, in the context of Parsha, as we already noted, thinks that this whole halakha is limited to Hekdesh. And it's not so obvious that it applies to a regular din of Akna. So would that emerge also, this is also very fascinating, what would emerge would be that the requirements or the criterion of Godeh ben Aganav being Chayev or Potter ben Akefel is not dependent on Akna, but dependent upon the Koach LaHekdesh. So again, if we were to say that it's a general problem in Bailus, then just as it would be difficult to distinguish between Gneva and Gazela, it would also be difficult to distinguish between Hekdesh and Akna. And presumably there would be no issue when it comes to the issue of for the application to Harsha. But if we say that Rishus is really a problem of Rishus, it's more limited, but mostly the Bailus is intact, and that's the reason why, when it comes to Hakna, there really is no Kisar on it. So then basically what we're saying is, again, quite literally, Ma Beso Birshuso, it's a din in Rishus, and that's a din in Gneva, and in the Chiv Kefil of Gneva in particular, and therefore it's applicable to a Gonev Minagana, who says that has to depend on the Koach LaHaknos and Bailus. It really depends on whether or not there's a Natila Mirshuso, and if it's already Natul or Lakuach Mirshuso, so then going forward you don't have anything else. So they think the Tosas Rid and the Rajba both are important in establishing that Godet Ben Aganav is really a different kind of idea. But this point is actually elaborated, I think I gave it in the Mar Makomos. I don't know if Ephraim, I don't see Ephraim there, but he's the Mar Makomos list person. There he is. Okay. So I think did I mention that the Talmud Rajba is on the
yes.
I put that on the Marmagomos?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, good. Good. So the Talmud Rajba is actually the one who elaborates Shitas Rajba, as a good Talmud should, and notes this application to Gonim, or elaborates this application of Gonim and Agano beyond what the Rajba says regarding Harsha. It says, given the Rajba's analysis, it now becomes clear that Godeh ben Aganav isn't something that depends on Akna, but something that depends particularly on Hekdesh, and that is surely very significant. The Talmud Rajba is the one who develops that particular form. Okay, then it's just continuing the survey for just another minute or so. The Gemara has a habamina to be mechalek between leket, ani, and gezel and kerem rabai, based on koach rabbanon lahapkue. That when it comes to the case of leket, maybe Rav Dosa, maybe their dafka, the rabbanon, will admit that that it works because of the koach to be oker, to be mafker. So here too, the idea of hefker working to somehow neutralize the problem of zelot yishena preshuso may depend on the nature of the chisaron. If the problem is the interfering kinyanik nevel gezela, so it's easy to say that Bezdin or the Rabbanan were mafkir, those kinyanim, at least when it comes to applying the problem of Rav Dosa. If, on the other hand, the problem of Zelfishen of Rishuso is a bigger problem, it's a problem of a bailus, the capacity of the bailum to do the transaction, it's not because it's interfered with by someone else. So then, in order to say that Bezdin or Mafkia, that the Rabbanan or Mafkia, the problem of Rishuso, even on the Rabbanan level, is not so simple. And maybe it depends on the well-known discussion whether Hefker Bezdin Hefker can work to create Kinyanim, or only can work to confiscate Kinyanim, which is, of course, a very well-known issue. The Rajba in Gittin, the Yom Tov Shlomo speaks about it as well, and Yivamos suggests that it depends on the two psukim and the two makaros for Hefker Bezdin Hefker. Or the pasuk referring to Yoshua. So the point here is that according to a sizable group of Rishonim and Toskim, that Hefka doesn't work to create bailus, only to strip away bailus. So if we say the problem of Eidav Rishuso is a problem of interference, then this Rabbanah is very easy to understand. On the other hand, if it's, say, a problem of capacity, you just don't have the wherewithal, the bailum are not in a position to be makne here. It's hard to understand, according to that perspective, how this would work. Okay. Then also, one other point, and that is that the Gemara is a havamina to be mechalek between kerem rabai, the tznuin case, and everything else. The Gemara says that the reason for that is that since Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa, and yet there is the Koach Pidyon, so this already shows that when it comes to Kerem Ravai, that we're dealing with a different category, that the Bailus is somehow more vulnerable or more flexible. How could it be that, you know, it's Mamun Gavoa, it's not yours, and yet there's Pidyon, and we treat you as if not the former bailiff, in one respect, we continue to treat you as if you are the bailiff over the kerem rabai, or the mitzvah shaker. That's the Gemara's ha'ara. Since that's true, so maybe that allows us also to be more flexible when it comes to the factor of Eidav Rishuso. Maybe Eidav Rishuso should not be ma'akev when it comes to kerem rabai. Of course, this has to be integrated with the other issue. I see, you know, Oren is right there in the corner of the table there. There he is. So it's, you know, we always call on him for this particular point, namely that this Gemara very much depends on how we understand Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa. And if we say that Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa...
I'll elaborate after.
You can't hear?
We couldn't hear that.
We're good. We're very good.
Rabbi, we missed about the last 5 seconds. 7 seconds.
Okay. That's my accolades about Oren. They came through.
Yeah, after that.
Yes.
Right. That's the most important part. Okay. What I said was that if we say that Maisa Sheni Mamun Gavoa doesn't really mean bailus, in the full sentence, doesn't mean the bailus of Maisa Sheni, It just means that the purpose, that the ultimate objective of Maisa Sheni, the Maisa impact on the exercise of Bailas, like we explained in the name of Reb Chaim for Bikara Torah Deruvein, Vahasha Torah Deruvein. If we say that, then of course, the whole Gemara takes on a different meaning. But either way, the Gemara says, if you take the Gemara Kipshuto, that Maisa Sheni Mam Gavoa means that it's hardcore Bailas. Everybody can hear now?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Okay. If it's hardcore Bailas, and yet we're saying that the exercise of Pidgin somehow is significant in allowing blacks the rules in terms of Rishuso, it sounds like we're talking some aspect of Bailas, not simply of Rishuso. So that too is a very important application. And then finally, completing our survey, in other words, Adap Ayin Omer Aleph, the Gemara says that Harsha'ah is connected to our topic. And that when we say that Omer Nahardoi Lokos Fina Urchasam, ultimately, that the Gemara says, Omer Vashi Lamemer Mai Taima, Omele Mishudra Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Gezva Lodos Harsha'ah Bailim, Shnei Meir Bechol Mahakti Zelapi Shene Shalom, Vizelapi. So again, the final application of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha beyond Kerem Ravai, Hefker, Hekdesh, Godev Minaganov, the final one is with regard to the ability of Harsha. Can you write a Harsha for Metaltalim de Kafre? Here there's an important machlokas of Rishonah, which we're going to get back to in just one more minute, and that is, what does Metaltalim de Kafre mean? Does it mean Gezel? Or is it something less than Gezel? Rashi Alatar has an interesting line. Rashi says, "Mishum Rabbi Yochanan on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph, the whole of Ayin Brishus Habaylim, and Yochal Aknos of the Shliach, Hilkach Im Tavad, Yochal Achzor V'Litvoa Miyad HaNeaman." Sounds like there's a dispute that arises, but it's not Gezel. That we're talking about a Neaman, namely somebody who is a Shomer. And the Mixos in Simchum Kaf Gimel makes note of this Rashi and discusses some of the implications of it. It seems that according to Rashi, this halacha of Zel Pishin Shol Zel Pishin Brashusa, which the Gemara applies to Harsha, is being applied to Harsha in a case of Pikadon, not necessarily in a case of Gzela. On the other hand, Tosas Alatar, Lo Kasfina Urchasa Metaltali, the first one, not the very long one yet, says, Davka Abetaltalin de Gazle. Abetaltalin de Pikadon, Kasvinan, Natali Taima de Hektish, Vieshkach, Adam Haktish Pikadon, Chieshlo, Biad Kavera, based on the principle of Pikadon Kalechidisa, Vishusa de Marisa. So Rashi Tosus assumes that we're talking about a case of Gazela. So according to Tosus, the Chiddush of applying Harsha'a to Rabbi Yochanan is to widen the group of transactions. Not only Hekdesh, not only Hefker, not only Chilul, Kerem Ravai, not only Godin Minaganov, but even Harshah. According to Rashi, we need to understand Rashi better, but according to Rashi, there's an additional Chiddush, there's a double Chiddush. Number one, that Harshah, whatever it is upheld, is there's an obstacle to Harsha if something is in it for Shuso. That's fact number one. Number two, and this is even more significant maybe, and that is the din of Dover Shana for Shuso applies not only to Gezel, but it applies to Pikadon as well. At least a disputed Pikadon, maybe not a regular Pikadon. There certainly we would say, like Gemara would say, Kalech and Isa for Shuso Dabari Isa. But a disputed Pikadon, even though it's still a Pikadon and there's no Gzela, would also be subject to Rabbi Yochanan's particular halacha. So this is the survey of the five or six or seven different issues that the Gemara links to the Machlokas between Snuin and Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, having said that, so now let's just move back and analyze very quickly the time that we have. Let's just analyze some of the issues. I mentioned yesterday, either it's a chisara, we've been analyzing it a little bit already today, either it's the interfering kinyanim of the Gazlan, or it is the incapacity or the lack of access and shlita of the Nigenav or Nigzal, or that what I'm suggesting, which is not so much the conventional view, and that is that the lack of access itself generates internally a limit of the kinyan. Just for the sake of again precision, it should be noted that the Ksos speaks a lot about this question of what the nature of the Fisar of Edom Rishuso is, but the Ksos's formulation of the options is a little bit different. The Ksos speaks about whether the problem is one of Tzayas Dina. He too focuses on whether the problem is a problem of the Ganef and the Goslin, or a problem of the Nignav and the Nigzal. But for him, the options are the Ganef and the Goslin because Lo Tzayas Dina, not so much necessarily because of Kinyane Gnevo Gazela. On the other hand, he definitely sees the problem of the Nigrav and the Nigzal as being a problem of Shlita, of control. But some of the analysis of Ksos, most of the analysis of Ksos, much of the analysis of Ksos will overlap with what we're saying here, but because I'm also suggesting, and I think many Achronim do, that the problem of Ganav and Goslin is specifically related to Kinyane Gzela, and because I'm also adding the possibility that lack of access is itself an inhibition of Bairus, so there are going to be some points in which the Ksos analysis differs from our analysis. Okay. The first thing to note is that the term Eino Breshuso is potentially useful in this analysis, but upon further reflection, the problem is that we find the term Eino Breshuso used in enough of a variety of ways that it's not decisive. But on the one hand, in our sugya, it's suggestive that the obvious bialus problem is defined as Eino Shelo. Therefore, one might think that the problem of Eino Breshuso is qualitatively different, and that it's not a bialus problem at all. It's either the interfering kinyan of the other party, or it's an access and control problem. The problem with that is that it may very well be true. That is, that we do find the term Breshuso used in different ways. Well, in the context of Davar Shlomo Bali Olam, we sometimes find the use of the term Davar Sheino Breshuso, which exists in the world, but is not in your bialus. In that context, Davar Sheino Breshuso really means Davar Sheino Shelo Abal Hu Ba'olam. On the other hand, we also have the use of the terminology in other cases. Rabbi Shmuel's halacha, Shnei Tvarim Eino Breshuso Shelano, Hakol Hakos of Kilu Breshuso, Bor Breshuso Rabbi Mechametz of Pesach is an example. Although there too, it's a little bit complicated. Bor Breshuso Rabbi certainly refers to a lack of bialus. That's a good example. Second example where the word Breshus can really mean lack of bialus. On the other hand, the question of Chametz B'Pesach is trickier. Chametz B'Pesach, you may not be able to do anything with it, but it's quite possible that it remains Birshuscha on some level. This is an issue that Rishonim discuss, whether Yisuri Anah, Chametz, which is Yisuri Anah, can be Bebaluscha or not. Rambam has a very famous shita that your loka and bayra bayimatze, if you make or if you buy chametz b'pesach. And Ramban actually, in the beginning of Tzachim, disputes that because he says, well, how could you buy chametz b'pesach? It's yisurei anah, it's eino shelo, it's eino breshuso. After all, the Gemara talks about chametz b'pesach as davar sheino breshuso v'asan b'kasuv kilu shelo. So the point is that it's complicated for now, even though it's close to Shloshim Yom, but it's not yet Shloshim Yom Lifnei HaPesach, so we won't go into any more detail. But the point is that the use of the term Breshus in that context for Chametz is open to question. It depends on the various shittos, but for, and I said Dom Shlomo Bali Olam context, prove that Breshus sometimes means a lack of bites. Okay. Let's get to some concrete issues. Let's mention a few of them, and then we'll conclude. What about a situation where there is Gezel Bishogeg? So essentially, that is the problem of Rabbi Dosa. The idea that we're speaking of, as we say, they did to 2 weeks ago, they didn't come to Shir, the halacha of Leket being limited to two was taught. So they just did well-meaning Aniyim, very pious Aniyim, sincere Aniyim. They just didn't know the halacha. Now, Ba'aretz Chassid, I didn't say they were Hasidim, but they're Aniyim who mean well. So, at best, we're dealing with a Gezel Bishogeg. The question would be, when you have a Gezel Bishogeg, is it even Gezel? And are there Kinyane Gezela? On the one hand, they mean to take and to keep the object, because they're ignorant of the din of Leket. On the other hand, there's not an awareness that they're doing an act of Gneva Ugezela. Is that a prerequisite for Kinyane Gneva Ugezela? So this is an interesting issue, an important question. I think we already noted that this possibly is a debate between Tosus on Samech Tes Omer Aleph, the Tosus with the Tudeos about Yeyosh, the big Tosus, the important Tosus, and Tosus Rabbeinu Peretz. As we noted, Tosa seems to be assuming that this Shogeg, this Gzela B'Shogeg, is a real Gzela. Whereas Tosa and Peretz, all part of the way that he answers the question is that, after all, this is Gzela B'Shogeg. Maybe it really isn't the full-fledged Gzela. The Ksos speaks about this in Siman Shinlan Dalid, Sif Katan Dalid. He assumes that there are no Kinyane Gzela in the case of Rabbi Dosa, in the case of Shogeg. He assumes that there's no Kinyane Gzela whatsoever. If you look again, I think it's a clear machlokas over Shon, if you look at the Raivin, Shivan Kubetzes, the Raivin talks about the need for Mechila. Right? It clearly assumes that there is Maisa Gzela, possibly Kinyanim as well. So here we would have a situation, at least according to Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz and the Ksos, where you have seemingly in a reshuso, because the person has lost control completely, the other fellow intends to keep the object, at least in for now, he certainly intends to keep the object. And yet, maybe there are no Kinyane Gzela. So the interference of Kinyane Gzela has been neutralized, and yet control of the object is still missing. So is Rav Dosa really a full-fledged Zelafishenu Breshuso? It seems so in the Gemara. But it does seem also that it's possible to paskin like Rabbi Dosa and not to paskin against Rabbi Yochanan. And indeed, it's possible that this is Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Ma'aser Sheni, Parak Tes Halacha Zayin, what I have it here. The Rambam says, "Misha oil a netter ravai b'shnas hashmita sheyad hakol shaveh." So again, the Rambam doesn't speak about Rabbi Dosa directly, but he talks about the Tznuin case. But in a case where shnas hashmita v'yad hakol shaveh, torch letzaino because zozus hadama kedei sheyakirbo v'lo yochel menu ad sheyiftu v'im hay v'toch shnei arlam at etc. Shema Isparu, etc. Then he adds about Snuin or Yamanichin with Samos, Mishnas Hashmita, the Omen Kulshan Nilkat, the Paris Ravai Elu, the Kul Almos Elu, Shari Ashar Livdoso, the Mechubar Kamosha Viardu. So the Rambam here, Nachs Maisa Shani, quotes Snuin. All the Rosa Kalim jump on the Rambam. After all, doesn't the Rambam in Hilchos Gneiva Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Zayin paskin like Rabbi Yochanan? Godeis Menagana of his Potzer Menakeitel. And if you look in Hilchos Erchin, Perek Vav Halacha Chav Gimel, there too it seems clear that the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, that Gezel Lodos Yahshua Bailin, Zeh Vezeh Einin Nekolim Lakdisho, Zeh Levishen Shalom, but also Zeh Levishen Breshuso. How could the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand, and paskin like the Tznuin on the other, when the Gemara says that the Tznuin and Rabbi Yochanan are a tarta disaster. So this is a very big problem of the Rambam. There are all sorts of suggestions. We're not going to encompass all of them right now. But one of the suggestions of some of the Rishonim, Meiri, some of the Nosa Kalim, Kesed Mishna, suggests that it's not a coincidence that this particular case of the Rambam is referring to Shnat HaShmita. Kesheyad HaKol Shabbat. The Rambam essentially eliminated the Gezela from this case. It's Tznuin, but without Gezela. Just as possibly Rabbi Dosa, if you assume that because it's Shogeg, there's no real Gezela, or at least no Kenyane Gezela. So then you have the parallel of Rabbi Dosa, but for Tznuin. Everybody still, are we still connected? Okay, good. Thank you. So, nobody has any questions?
You guys can talk. I mean, it was a, yeah, no.
Wait, Noah's not at the shir today?
No.
Okay, anyway, so the point is that the Rambam's psak is consistent with paskening like Rav Dosa. If you were to say that there are no kinyan gzeila, now you have a situation of the individual has no control because the tefillah has been taken, but he can still be makalel nonetheless. So if we assume that the problem of zelafishin of reshus is a problem of kinyan gzeila, then we understand very well why we're making this. This particular distinction. Wow. Okay. Michael, go ahead.
Doesn't the Rambam, I think in Hilchos Erchin, talk about cases of Zelafi Shena Rishuso and mention cases of Pikadon?
We'll get to it. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we'll get to it. But again, the question is, what are the disputed Pikadon? We'll get back to it. Obviously, Yochol Ha'akdish. The Pikadon Kalechad Isa Rishus of the Bari is certainly a Kiddush Lakdish. That's explicit in the Gemara. We'll hopefully get, not today, then I guess maybe Sunday, when we get back to the Harshop in Rashi and the Rabban. Just hold off on that. But basically, it is clear from the Rambam of Zerachin that he passed on the Kriyota. That's the point. And yet, the Rambam of Hilchos Maaseh Sheni paskins like the Tznuin. And as I said, the Menachem Farshim explained that because Rambam adds Shnas HaShmita, he's eliminated the Gzela parts, so that would perhaps account for the what otherwise would be the discrepancy. Okay, there are others who if you look at Tosa, Dir Maskal, Hudamar, etc. So Tosa has a suggestion that the Rabbanan intervene and they'll allow Rav Dosa, even if, in principle, they paskin like Rabbi Yochanan against Shnur and against Rabbi Dosa. There are some who suggest that that's what the Rambam is about. The Shulchan Gemarim and Tosfot Tzi and Daf Zayin, the Meiri and Bava Kamma, etc. But then becomes a question of understanding the mechanism of intervention, namely what I said before, which was if the problem is a problem in the Koach Bailus, then it's hard to per se, and it's not a result of the competing kinyanim of the Gazlan, then it's harder to explain how the Rabbanan could intervene here. Again, unless it's after doesn't after a mukmua or shusa, the language actually that Tosas uses, Tosan Sabakaslan base, uses the language of ifkiu, if I wrote down language here, Tosas uses the language of kinyan, as if the Rabbanan were able to be makna the chepetz to the bailim such that they could they could accomplish this transaction. But it would be easier, if not the language of Tosas, to explain that shita if again we were neutralizing the kinyanim, even if there was a situation where there was in fact kinyanim. Another example where we might have zelafishin brashuso without kinyane gneva or gezeva interfering might be the case of Mekach Tos. What if you have a Mekach Tos where there's no Gzela at all? That's an issue which is brought up in the sugya in, depending on how you understand the sugya in Kedushin Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, and Tosfos on Sabaches Amud Beis brings it up. Tosfos asks the question, you know, right before the wider lines are in Sabaches Amud Beis, we tell about Katera Yochel Lechalel Maisesheni Shokadeiro. So we don't have Ish Vekadesh Eilokim Behemet Tnei Avadim Karkos Mimos Maisesheni. Why don't you just say that the Tabekah knows they can't do it? Shani Kishabah. I'm going to show you the guy ran away. So Tosfos says we see that he ran away. Nonetheless, there is capacity to be the Chalal. Tosfos says that Snuin and Rabbi argue that you can't be mechalel once there's a theft of Kerem Ravai, and the Gemara Kedushin seems to be saying in a parallel situation to be mechalel so you can save him from teva. Al mechalel mos shaviyad hamocher. This is the answer. V'yashomer d'asam avakim o'gazlan d'ilo barach v'havamekar chozervo v'havakim o'gazlan v'lo ravaylet. Who can snoo in the hacha? Inami knasa bialma, etc. And if you look at Tosfos in Kedushin, you'll also find Tosfos in Kedushin has two deos on this question. The Ksos and Sinan Shinun Dalit Kafin Dalit, that same piece, discusses this at some length and suggests that this is exactly the issue. Tosfos thinks that Nekhtos and Barach is the equivalent of Gezer Rodos Yahshua Bailin. Even though there's certainly no Kinyane Gnebo Gezela in that case, simply he did something which he thought worked, was effective, and it wasn't. There's no Kinyane Gnebo, there's no active Gnebo, not even the Shogay. It's simply a mistake, it's a backup Tos. And nonetheless, Tos says that since he was Barach, and you don't have access to him, so since he's Barach, he can't just undo the damage. And because he's Barach, it's the equivalent of Gazov Alon Siyashua Bailet. Tosfos seems to be saying that it's not interfering Kinyani Gnebo Gazela that is the problem. On the other hand, the Tosfos and Kedushin, the other day, and maybe based on this, or maybe even here the two days are connected to that, the Tosfos Rid says explicitly in Kedushin that the Ksos quotes us in Shinnun Dalet, that you just can't compare these two cases, that Nekhtos is different than Gezel. Again, for the Ksos, it's because of Tzayis, Lo Tzayis Dina. For him, it has to do with the Rishus Hagavra, and the fact that the guy wouldn't listen, even if he were to know what was going on, as opposed to this fellow who's innocent and just ignorant. But certainly that's a proper chiluk if Tzayis Dina is the category. But for our purposes, Kinyane Gzela is even a stronger distinction. Maybe there's no Kinyane Gzela in the case of Mekhtos. So here again you have clearly a Machlokas HaRishonim regarding this issue. Getting back to Pikadon for a moment, this might be the issue as well. Again, for the Bali Tosas, Pikadon Kalechadisim, which is the Mar Yisa, end of story. For Rashi, What exactly is going on in the case of Harsha? So obviously there has to be some dispute, otherwise it wouldn't be a requirement of Harsha. Harsha means you're having difficulty collecting, and you're worried that the fellow is going to say Labal Dvarim Didiyat, as we know, and you send out a Mursha in order to accomplish the function. So obviously there's a dispute, but this dispute doesn't eliminate the status of Ne'eman and the Shein Pikadon. So it would seem fair, and this is how Alexos understands in Kukov Gimel as well, Kukov Gimel Tzvikot Talif, it would seem fair to conclude that there are no Kinyani Gezela, and maybe for Alexos' purposes, there's no Lotzayas Dina in the case of Pikadon, according to Rashi. And yet, according to Rashi, Ein Kosvin Urchasa Metalkalin is based on Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. So again, it would seem that we have another circumstance of lack of control, because there is a dispute, and he's not listening to me, he's not following my instructions, otherwise I wouldn't need a Borsha, even though there are no kinyane, there are no kinyane kzei. This also may be the case, and probably is the case, in some other circumstances. The ksos, and maybe we'll discuss this more fully later on, in Sin Reishit Aleph Siv Katan Beis, I'm not sure if I gave you that one or not, Reishit Aleph Siv Katan Beis, discusses the sheep of Yamshel Shlomo and his own view regarding Mashkon and Skirus and She'ela. Whether or not the problem of Zelefishen Shalom, Zelefishen Rishuso would be a problem. Again, there are no kinyanei gzeila in such a case, and from the closest point of view, no lack of tzayas dina. I think the point is that in the case of mashkon and schiris and she'ela, while the kinyanim are not competing, the fact is that there is a certain loss of operative control, operational control, because the socher and the shoel and the balamashkon have certain rights in the object. So it wouldn't be comparable to kinyanei gzeila as competition, but it would be comparable again to the de facto loss of total control of the object. So if we were to say that she'ela and skirus and mashkon, that eli yochel laknisho, that would be a very, very big chiddush. But it would be a chiddush which would point in the direction again that eino reshuso is not connected to kinyanei gnevo gzeila. Similarly, the Rabban. The Rabban has a chiddush, and we'll talk more about it when we talk about our Shah, in the reading of the Gemara. The Rabban reads the Gemara according to the Girsa of Rabbeinu Hananel, not the way the Rashi tells us to read the continuation of the Ayin of Aleph. The Rabban is a Siman Tes. I think we gave that in the Rabban Komas. It's also quoted in the Mordechai here in Meruba. So, unlike many Rishonim who think that the first day is a problem of Zelefishen of Rishuso, the second day is a problem of Mexica Shikra, for example, the way the Malitosis read the Gemara, that's why there's a difference, Talflin, Talflin, the Kafre, etc. The Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa, the Rabban's understanding of it, in any case, is essentially that both Lashonos are referring to Rabbi Yochanan. The first daya is Ki Rabbi Yochanan. The second daya is Rabbi Yochanan. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan, the second daya says that Zelefi Shein Shalom, Zelefi Shein Rishuso is a chisaron only when there's gazel. The first daya says that even in a pikadon, there's a chisaron of Zelefi Shein Rishuso. Why? Not Rabbi Yochanan, but Ki Rabbi Yochanan. What do you mean, Ki Rabbi Yochanan? Meaning an extension of Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. So it sounds like there's a machlokas whether we apply Rabbi Yochanan's halacha only to Gezel, or even to Pikadon. Now it's not perfectly clear. Presumably, like Rashi, you would have to say that there is some sort of dispute, some sort of difficulty in the collection. In other words, you don't understand what Morsha is doing here. So presumably, it's not just the denial of Pikadon Kol Echad Issa Rishuso D'Amar Issa according to this Ki Rabbi Yochanan. It's something in between Gezel and Pikadon in which there is total cooperation. And if that's the case, so then we have an interesting situation. Essentially, what we were just saying for Rashi ends up being a machlokas. We're saying Machlokas to Rashi and Tosas, whether or not the application to Harsha implies that Eino Reshuso is a din only in Gezel, or also in a disputed collection of a Pikadon. According to the Rabban, it basically ends up that that's exactly the two deos in the Gemara. The Lishna Kama, Lishna Basra of the Gemara precisely dispute whether to apply Rabbi Yochanan's halacha even further to Ki Rabbi Yochanan, to a situation where there's no kinyan exam. And then the question becomes another question, and that is how you understand the chapadimion of ki. In other words, one could say Rabbi Yochanan's halacha is limited to gzeila because it's based on the interference of the kinyan gzeila. But he would never, in his dreams, think of applying this to any pikadon because there are no kinyan gzeila. The Ki Rabbi Yochanan is a qualitatively different perspective on Ein Vershusso. It's exactly the two deos that we're talking about, two perspectives and two possibilities, are the dispute between the two deos. So Rabbi Yochanan says it's Kinyan Exela which interfere, and the Kira Rabbi Yochanan, the Dea Rishonim, says, no, even more than that, as long as you are not in operational control, you cannot be Makdish the Chayfetz, and you can't commission a Morsha to collect the Chayfetz either. On the other hand, if the Kira Rabbi Yochanan really means that it's the same halacha, it's just a question of where to draw the line. It's a quantitative difference between Rabbi Yochanan and the Kira Rabbi Yochanan. But then basically what we're saying is mid lishna kama nishma v'davin as lishna masra. Meaning, if the same halacha is just a question of where to draw the line, then that halacha is not about kinyan exela. Because clearly, in the case of regular pikadam, there aren't kinyan exela. And yet, there's an extension. So if you don't believe in the extension, it just might be that you think that loss of control has to be more serious. There's loss of control when there's some dispute about the collection, but there's an admission that it's my object to do with what I want, at least down the road. There's a bigger loss of control when the fellow has absolutely no intention of ever returning the chayfetz to me, ever. So it's not because of his kinyan exela, just that it becomes a shiur in lack of rishus and lack of control itself. So I think the Rabban, the two days of the Rabban, and how we understand the kid of Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's a different perspective in Rabbi Yochanan, or quantitatively a different place to draw the line, that becomes a very, very important issue. This issue, of course, may also be the key to explaining, and this I think all the Achronim suggest, the sugya in Bab Metzia, Dav Zayin, Amud Aleph, and maybe we'll finish with that. What time is it in New York?
1:30.
Like 1:35? Yeah. Yeah,
1:35-ish. Okay, good. So my limitations are here. They're not really for you. I mean, we can do this all day from your point of view, right?
Yes.
That was the right answer, by the way. So you have the sugya Bab Metzia Dav Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about, it's the extension of the Gemara's discussion of Tokfu Kohen. Tokfu Kohen, Motsi Miyado, or Motsi Miyado. So the Gemara Dav Bava Amud Beis, the Gemara Dav Bava Amud Aleph has a suffix. The Gemara says, "If Tim Salomar talk back of the Panenu, Ein Motzin also Miyado. If Tisa works in a regular dispute, what about Hekdesh? Hekdesh of Lo Talk from Bow. Kivdom Amar Rasul Gavok Rasul Hedyot Dami come out and talk for Dami. But Dil Mahash Tadiya Lo Talk from Uksiv Ishkiyakdesh is base of Kodesh Ar Zerasakasu. Not base of Bershusa Ko Bershusa La Fukehai Delo Bershusa." So the Gemara wants to know whether or not, in a situation where there's a dispute between two parties, and one is makdish the chayvetz, in such a situation, will we say ishki akdish is beso and you require rishus, or not? That's the discussion in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, well, this is dramatized by a certain case. Tashma dahu mesusa dahava manso ala beitre hayomer didi. They're arguing about a son of some sort. So kom chaminayu akdusha, one of them got up and was makdish the mesusa, and parshi minah Rav Chananya, Rav Oshia, v'kul rabbanan. Everyone was very respectful. They weren't sure whether it was belonged to hekdesh or not, so they all decided to stay away from this mesusa. So this is the Gemara's case. What will happen if there's a dispute between two people and somebody gets up and is makdish v'chevetz? Is that a chisaron of edim v'chuso or not? So then the Gemara later on Zayin Amud Aleph gets back to this, and the Gemara says, "My havalah da'im mesusa." What's the final sock regarding the mesusa? So the Gemara says, "My love of the mesusa tashma d'am rabchi barabin habuvda be rabchizer rabchizer be rabuna pashta mehadam rab Nachman kol arvon she'en yochel otziya b'dayanim hekdesho na kadosh hayochel otziya b'dayanim hekdesho kadosh afagav d'lo afkin." So the Gemara said the formula is, if you would win in court, then you have the ability to be makdish, even though you have yet to be motzi, but it shows that you are a sufficient bailim, and I guess in sufficient control as well. If you can't obviously win the court case, so then it's Eda Bershuso, and you cannot be back. The Gemara says, all you need is to be able to win the court case. Isn't there a chisaron of Eda Bershuso? After all, in the case of the dispute over over Metalkalin, in the case of Gzela, you're going to win the court case. Let's say you have Edim, it's clear that you're going to win the case. Nonetheless, Gezer Melonis Yahshua Bailim, Hina Yachal Akdisho, because of Yochanan says Akdisha and Rashusa. So clearly, the fact that you can prevail in the courtroom is insufficient basis for Hakna, or for Hakdasha. So the Gemara says, Misabra is Bimetsusa Metapol and Askina. Bimetsusa Mekarkoy Askina. The Chiyachal Otsia Bidayonim, Rashuse Kaima. So the Gemara says, who said the Mesusa is a Metalkalin? Maybe the mesusa is karka. Since it's karka, it depends on yachal otziya b'dayanim, yes or no, because physically you can't move, you can't pick up the karka. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara itself says nothing about karka nixelis or any nixelis in this context, but Rashi does. Rashi explains that karka metalkalin is based on karka in an nixelis, metalkalin. So it sounds like Rashi is making this link. But in Rashi, it's not clear what the link is. Is the link due to Kinyane Gzela, because it's the interference of Kinyane Gzela, which is the linchpin of Zela Fishin or Bershuso? Or is it simply a reflection of the fact that it's Eda Bershuso physically, and that the Maisa, and not only physically but also legally, is a Maisa Gzela. Namely, Metalkalin, even if there were no Kinyan Gzela, the fact is there would be a Maisa Gzela, and that would be Eda Bershuso, as opposed to Karka, which is Eda Gzeles, which means that even if you throw him off the Karka, it's still Bershuso. Thus, is Rashi proving, is Rashi invoking Karka and Gzeles here for reasons of Kinyanim, or for reasons of Maisa Gzela as a sheer and lack of access, or even less than that, just to show physically that we deem this to be Bershusa. It's not clear. It could be any of these three. Rabbi Kinegar, on the spot, a very well-known comment in Dulian Hashas, understood that the Gemara also was linking to Karkin and Exalus. Again, one can read the Gemara without saying Karkin and Exalus at all. One could simply say that the Gemara is only interested in physical control of the property. It has nothing to do, not only with Kinyan Exela, it has nothing to do with Maisa Exela or Tayez Dina. Nothing to do with any of it. Rabbi Kinegar understood not only like Rashi that it's connected to Karkin Gzeles, but very specifically that it's connected to Kinyane Gzela that interfere. That's why Rabbi Kinegar asked the question. Rabbi Kinegar says, Koshali, Ha'ikar Achilipin, Metaltalin, and Karkai, the Metaltalin Nigzalim, the Kamle Rashuse de Gazlan. He doesn't even emphasize that it leaves the Nigzal, but Kamle Rashuse de Gazlan. Nikri, Eno Bershusa da Nigzal. Avakarka Eno Nigzal, Slokom Bershusa da Gazal. Im Kain, the Metalpalin, the Gazal below Kinyon, Slokom Bershusa da Nigzal, Bedechai Vachroyuso, Kinisum Avakama Hain Tasman Alpin Vasnisan, Avakarka the Mavakar Bershusa da Nigzal. Im Kain Hocha the Besusa da Gzela, Ben the Ned Ober Didi, Beleka Kinyon, Yachalak Nisha, the Tzorahiyu. So the Kinegar asks a very, very strong question. So the case of Mesusa, which is what they're discussing, is a case in which there is no physical contact with the Mesusa at all. You have Mesusa, the Pashtus. They're arguing about the ownership, and one of them gets up and it says, Hinani Muchan Mazuman, and he's Makdish to Hekdish. He didn't talk to the others, no Kinyan. If there's no Kinyan, as we know, that's where Kinegar quotes the Sugin Ayin Tesem and Aleph. So that means that there was certainly no Kinyane Gzela. The truth is, I want to go further than Rabbi Kinegar. If there was no Kinyan, there was no, possibly, very possibly, there was no Maisa Gzela. So in a way, Rabbi Kinegar is pointing out something very, very true, and that is that the Gemara is applying this halacha to a situation where there's no Kinyane Gzela and not even Maisa Gzela. Now, it's true that it's Lotzai Dina. This would be an example where the Ksosas, well, Tzayas Dina is different than Kinyane Gezeva. The Ksosas would not have a problem, even according to the perspective of Tzayas Dina, with this particular issue. The point is that maybe the answer to Rabbi Kinegar is, who says that the requirement...
No. No.
Rabbi, we're having trouble hearing you. Rabbi, we can't hear you. Still can't hear you.
Just write it down.
There we go.
Wait. No.
No.
How's this?
Good, good. We can hear you.
You do?
Now we do, yes.
Okay. And, you know, you're all witnesses. There's no technician in the room here. I've mastered the technology. Okay. You can hear me now?
Yes.
The answer is...
Okay. What was the last thing before I...
The answer is...
I left out?
The answer is...
I think I was saying was that... maybe backtrack a second, that in this case would not be a problem at all for the Ksos, even according to his perspective, that everything depends on Tzayas Dina. Because for the Ksos, this is a case of low Tzayas Dina, but for anybody who thinks that the problem is either interfering Kinyane Gzela, or even lack of access due to Gzela, or even a vice Gzela, I should say, you're going to have a problem in this case. But the Pashtus, Rabbi Kinegar, is right that it's a case where there is no Mais Gzela. Again, Rabbi Kinegar's emphasis is on the Kinyanin part, and he's assuming that Rabbi Yochanan's halacha generally is about Gzela. So he says, well, if you had Metalfel in Mesusa, since there was no Kinyane Gzela, it should Afalotzio B'dayonim or Lai Afalotzio B'dayonim. It's the question of authority. But obviously, if you require either a either if this issue depends on Mais Gzela or access and control, then this would not be a problem. For the Ksos, it would not be a problem either. Everybody can hear me?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. So I'm going to mention one other, just in light of this, of course, one should also just consider the possibility of some of the other cases that we spoke of, that I mentioned yesterday, that we spoke of earlier in the year, where also you have Mais Gzela, but you have no Kinyane Gzela. That might be cases in between the Gemara here in Bava Metzia and some of the other cases. Bava Metzia is not even a nice Gzela, but there are Kinyan. But what about cases like Shalosh Shelo Midas and Abanas La'adeid and Abanas La'nekat? Right, there you have a case where there is a Maisa the Derech Kinyan, but it's possible that there are no Kinyane Gneva Ugezela. It would be interesting to figure out in those cases whether there was a pisaron of Eda Bershusa. There would be cases in between the Mesusa and the classical case. Now, Eved would be another case, but it would be one shade even in between all of those. Because in the case of Eved, we know there are no Kinyane Gzela, Eved Enum, except according to the Rif, but Eved Enum, Avadim Enum Nigzalim, in the sense of Kinyanim at all. Even if you were to have wanted to, it's not like Amanas La'abed and so on. And yet, there is a Mais Gzela for Avadim, as we know, like the Rambam explains, in terms of Yeush and so on. So there'd be a hierarchy of these cases. Mesusa for Rabbi Kinegar is one. Amanas La'abed, Lamekat, Shal Shlomidas would be a group of others. And then Avadim would be somewhere in between. Finally, just let me finish off with the discussion in Bava Kamma, and then we'll call it a day. Or, I guess, in your case, a morning, and in my case, a night. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Lamed Vav as well. A very famous Gemara. And those of you here last year, we discussed it in the context of Maimon Shlashtan and Milva Motzadetna. A very important discussion. Basically, the Gemara here on Lamed Vav and Beis in Bava Kamma has a certain case. The Tokel L'Chaver Nosen Lo Sela. The Gemara says if somebody hits another fellow, he has to pay him a knas. The Gemara wants to know whether or not that knas is, you know, valuable or trivial, whether it's Selas Suri or Medina. That's the discussion of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, And it turns out that it was the smaller of the vices, the trivial one. The Gemara says, "Amalei Ugabra, Holo Palka, Dezuzo, Lobina, Nesfilanim." Like I said, it's not worth my while to bother, you know, with this. So I hereby bequeath this this knas to the Adin. So the Gemara says, "Hodo Amalei," then she had a change of heart. He says, "Nasfinali, Ezel the Avri Bay, Nashoi." I'll buy myself a little treat. Maybe I'll feel better about the whole thing. He changes his mind, decides that he is going to accept even the trinket, even the trivial amount. So he says, "Amalei Rabbi Yosef, Kvar Zachu Bei Aniyim. V'Avagav Delek Aniyim Acha, Anan, Yad Aniyim Anan." As we explained, that there is such a concept of a bezin being a Aviyim Shel Yisom. That's the Gemara. So all the Rishonim ask the question, starting from the Bali Tosis, and then later the Rif, and all the Rishonim. They say, why do you need Ya Anan Yad Aniyim Anan in this case? One is simply say that the Picha Zu Tzedakah, just like Amir Asa Legval Kipsi Rasa Omehejo, the commitment alone transfers the money. That's true with regard to Tzedakah as well. So even if he wasn't the Gabai Tzedakah, there should have been an easy Kinyan for which he could not be Choser anyway. So the Rif concludes from here. Again, Bali tells us to discuss it as well. That it must be that he quotes Rishonim Gaonim, who said, we see from here that we don't say the Picha Zut Tzedakah, but in Rasa Gavok and Srasa Lahedja doesn't apply to Tzedakah. But the Rif says that's impossible, it can't be true. It must be that even in Tzedakah we say on Rasa Gavok and Srasa Lahedja. Rather, the conclusion is something else, and that is, it's a Davar She'eno Bershuso. And it's based on Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. If the fellow is Anan Yad Aniyim Anan, so then we apply the rule of Maimon Shlashta. But in order for the Hakna to apply simply on the basis of the rule of Amirasul Legam, the equivalent of Amirasul Legamon comes from Amirasul Lehejot, for that it would have to be Dabar Ushalo the Dabar Shehu Birshuso. And in this particular case, it's not Birshuso. So that's the explanation of the Rif. Or here has a very famous comment where he says he thinks that the Rif is wrong and the other Rishonim are correct. He says, "Arbe kasav arav lo nirali devaram lo dibra abeno kananel lo kasav zar abeno hago abeno haigon umash evi arval to siul devar gezav lo nisyan shoban b'shnei men b'chol nahak nisad pishen shol nisad pishen v'shusa lo zu aderech v'lo zu ha'ir lo amin and then v'shusa v'dav v'shen v'sar in halal l'italo Shiva Tomer Kane, up in the Maimon Shloshtun, Loyamor Lobehektesh, become a Chamala Hedja. Lahid the God of the Hikdish, Vachak Tomachamachar, Char Gamar and Maruba, do Kim the Perk Maruba, the Shoed Bedin, Bachanani Mitupra, the Messiah of Allah Lint Nalo, Madra Mochichin Kane, Char Tomacho Macharo, so obviously he's not going along. Maskara Bin Asa Dabrle Chaimat, Elit Lodlo Pascha Bedin, Lamil Say, the Havale Ganem, the Zuya Chuvala Minu Haigo. So basically the Balamar says, is Mechadesh, that if you have a situation of Zelef Yishenu Shalom, Zelef Yishenu Bershuso, but the second party, the competing party, is interested in acquiescing and going along with your plans, in other words, he agrees to be Makdish the Chavetz, or to give it to Tzedakah, can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So if he still, if he agrees, and he knows he's putting up no resistance, his lack of resistance overcomes the problem of Zelafisha in Ubershus. That's the Shita of the Balamor. The Gemara is in Maruba. The Gemara is in Maruba are all cases where there is resistance, the Raya, Tvicha, Bechira, and so on. And the Ramban disputes this. The Ramban says, "Velo Zubul Pad. Now the Sha'af, I have for Shapiris, begin the Lord's Yahshua Bailim, Eno Klum. Shalom Yishalom Rotsa Litin Lo, Eno Kadosh, Kivin Shabbat Torah's Gezel Huetzlo, Nikomokom Zabaru, Shaina Nimachal Hakdish Mashalo Yigil Yodom Eola, Deda Shalom, Kagon Dezakin Elu, etc." So the Rabban really disputes on several levels. Number one, the Rabban says this is not just the regular case of Gezel Velom Yishashua Abaylin, it's even worse than that, because he never had really bailus over this knas, and more comparable to a milva and Bill was also on it. That's why last year we spoke about this this Balamor and this Ramban. Seems like there may also be a dispute about how the Hotzon Itna Milva is. But the Ramban says, even if you were talking about a regular case of Gezer, Lotus, Yashua, Bailim, I'd be with the Balamor. And I think that it's not true. Because even if competing party shows no resistance, even interested in participating, or at least not in interfering, nonetheless, there's a chisaron of Zel Pishen Shalom and Zel Pishen Rishus. So after all, he says it's Gazel. So I think the Ramban can be explained in one of two ways. The easiest pshat in Ramban is to say, like Rabbi Knager, that what the Ramban had in mind was Kinyane Gzela constitute the interference. And you have to undo the Kinyane Gzela. You can't just say, I don't resist. You have to say, if some bailus has been lost by virtue of the fact that someone else has kinyanim, even if he's willing to go along, it still doesn't detract from your lack of complete bailus. On the other hand, if it's a matter of control, so then perhaps one could say that between the two of you, the object is going to reach its proper agreed-upon destination, and maybe there really is no chisaron when it comes to Rishus, if Rishus is controlled. However, here I just might add that even if the chisaron is Rishus, it's possible that the Ramban is correct, because maybe control is something that has to come independently from the Bible. If I have control because you acquiesce, even from a control point of view, that may be a chisaron. This would certainly be true according to my suggestion, which is that the chisaron of shlita, of control, itself is a de facto chisaron in bailus. If that were to be true, then I think it's very, very possible that the reassertion of control is something that has to come independently, self-sufficiently. It cannot rely upon the gazlan. Even if the chisaron of Eda Breshuso is just a practical problem, namely, you can't exercise hakna'a in a circumstance where Lamaisa, you don't control the object, even then I think it's an open question whether the control is something that has to come internally or is something that can be accomplished by partnership, by the two of them participating. The truth is an issue that comes up in Tosis and Kedushin Daf Nun Vav, in parallel Tosis on Samaches, with regard to the case in Kedushin of Maitzer Sheni, as well, and maybe dependent upon these two issues. I guess I'll stop here. Next time I just want to speak about a couple of more cases. Next time will be Sunday, in person. I have the pleasure of being able to call on everybody. We still want to speak about a couple of more cases. The case of Aveda. If you didn't see it yet, I'm not sure if I gave it to you, just look at the Ritva in Bambetzia. Daf Lamed Daled on the base, page 192, column 2, in the old print that Shita Mekubet says. I want to speak about that for a couple of minutes. I want to revisit just very, very briefly the Ramban and the Ritva on Ben Gimel and Aleph in Bambetzia that we discussed already, the question of Idbar Nivela. And I just want to make a few other ha'aros regarding maybe the Xos and Reishin Aleph. If you haven't seen it, I want to speak about that for a couple of minutes. And then I want to speak about the Harsha application here, the Rajba Shita Harsha a little bit more, and maybe some of the other Pratim before we move on to the next topic. So, see you all on Sunday. And, meanwhile, enjoy the rest of the week.
And you have a safe flight home and a good Shabbos.
Thank you very much. I'll do it.
No. Sir. Oh.